information is free.
The law?
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge,
we care.
Here to border on
shows.
The law?
The country.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
Being lied to by
a government who knew they were innocent. They have no idea what they're up against.
The trouble with always trying to preserve the health of the body is that it's so difficult to do without destroying the health of the mind. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 163 of Media Monarchy. It's March 26th, 2010. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. All your alt news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups for you. Incendiary situations, greenwash, and regulations, social protests, polls, and a national ID, landmark legislation and existential threats, WikiLeaks, honeypots, and a food revolution, all that and so much more. Jam-packed, March 26, 2010, episode 163 of MediaMonarchy.com. If you tolerate this, your children will be next. That's the 1998 single from the UK band Manic Street Preachers. And that was a number one single in the UK. And I have such a hard time imagining that happening here in the States. It's from their album, This Is My Truth, Tell Me Yours. And that's why I'm here. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 163rd episode of Media Monarchy. It's March 26th, 2010. And my name's James Evan Pilato, and I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, as well as FoodWorldOrder.com and CyberspaceWar.com. For all your alternative news, politics, conspiracies, cover-ups, and so much more. Broadcasting live, as always, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time in Portland, Oregon, at the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. Also, a huge thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com, carrying the show live. Going out 92.3 FM and 1670 AM in Casper, Wyoming. RevereRadio.net, the worldwide home of free speech, also carrying us live. Originating out of Florida, 1 p.m. on the East Coast, now live. And, of course, where would we be without people sharing and spreading the show? Free Radio Olympia, 98.5 FM in Olympia, Washington, FrOlympia.org. 104.1 FM in Berkeley, California, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net, PhantomRadio.org, 93.9 in Boulder, Colorado, OneSkyRadio.com, 90.7 in Kisilov, Alaska, StickAM.com/Ground Zero Radio on 87.9 FM in Canton, Georgia. Thanks to my man Glenn at Cascadia Public Radio and Jeff at Radio 23. And I'm happy to announce a new affiliate out of Laughlin, Nevada. LaughlinRadio.com is going to start carrying Media Monarchy. I believe they are a CBS News affiliate and a new rock station. So again, thank you. LaughlinRadio.com. You can make contact Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, YouTube, Yahoo, Gmail, Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, and Archive.org. It's all connected. Send media to the monarchy, P.O. Box 12165 in Portland, Oregon, 97212. And our fundraiser. I don't know what I expected, but it's blown away my expectations, and I thank you guys so much. You know, at the top of MediaMonarchy.com, we've had the chip-in, which gives you kind of a graphic representation of how you're doing in a fundraiser, percentage and dollar amounts, and I think it gets people interested and excited. I put an arbitrary number of $500 in an arbitrary date ending 4/20, April 20th. We've now blown past that. It's at 112%. $10 gets you the new DVD, DVD-ROM for that matter, 2020 Hindsight, Censorship on the Front Line from Richard Andrew Grove, available exclusively through a handful of alternative media sites like MediaMonarchy.com, CorbettReport.com, GnosticMedia.com, DeadlineLive.info, Maria.net, and ThinkFree.ca. But a lot of you guys have gone beyond the 10, and I thank you. It pays the dues, it pays the domain names. It makes it happen, and we're going to grow. So a huge thanks to the generous donation from Greg in South Africa. as well as Chris in Texas, some of the most recent donators to MediaMonarchy.com, again on this Money March, if you will. So I've made contact with most of the folks out there. I have the discs in my hand. They're going to go out, start going out in the next few days. So again, huge thanks. And again, this was an arbitrary goal. Please, if you can donate, do it. And that's all I got to say about it. We always like to glance at Google News to see what's happening. U.S.-Russia to sign nuclear arms reduction treaty on April 8th. That's the top of the news. However, the continued military deals with Israel doesn't seem to be at the top of the news. But we'll get to that later for you. U.S. plans big expansion in effort to aid homeowners. And memo to Pope described transfer of pedophile priest. Of course, the Catholic Church being exposed yet again as the massively corrupt organization that it is. Same situation's happening here with the Boy Scouts in Oregon. And we'll touch on that as well later. I should mention, yeah, we're signed on to Instant Messenger. We're signed on to Skype as Media Monarchy. I'm over in the chat room on ZeroPointRadio.com. We were discussing health scare, among other things. Join us over there. And the first thing we want to get into on MediaMonarchy.com is the special gift I alluded to on the previous episode. That came out on 3/20 on the spring equinox, and that was the second edition of the Media Monarchy mixtape. A nice, tight hour of music. So again, you got to subscribe and you won't miss any of the extra things. Again, it can't always be news and politics. We have to have a little bit of fun. And you know I'm a huge music fan and ex-radio programmer. Havitt Brothers, Watson Twins, The Zombies, The Breeders, Morrissey, Loretta Lynn, Sloan, Flight of the Conchords. So I hope you dig the mixtape episodes half as much as I enjoy putting them together. So look, hopefully, for those more often. We also have the latest episode of The New World Next Week, my weekly 10-minute video series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Most recent episode, we're going to go over all these this week on this episode 163 of MediaMonarchy.com. U.S. takes down honeypot site. France ditches carbon tax and airport security guard ogled woman colleague in the old naked body scanners. So again, hopefully, The New World Next Week is another way to spread info and ideas, getting it out to as many different people as we can. I know I'm not going to be able to do justice to all of this news and information. And it sometimes drives me nuts that I can't, you know, try and explain things further and spend more time on things. But there's an ebb and flow to it, I think. And I think what I'm good at, I suppose, and I think why you guys enjoy the site and show, is that it's a mass amount of information. It's a mine of data. And as I fly through it all in a sort of short attention span media theater, it's up to you to take that info or that thread and pull on it. What I'm trying to say is we're going to be all over the map today. And we're just going to get started with some of the latest police state updates. And this post is titled, If You Tolerate This, Your Children Will Be Next, which of course was the title of our opening song on this episode. U.S. Forest Service admits putting CCTV on public lands. We grab this story from islandpacket.com. The Forest Service putting cameras in the woods. And it goes on and on and on. John Yu says war excuse could be used to strike suspected enemies with drones inside the U.S. David Swanson of AfterDowningStreet.org questioned war criminal torture memo John Yu. Essentially posing more and more ridiculous scenarios that John Yu has no problem with, that essentially the unitary executive that he fought so much for in an official capacity during the previous puppet administration, he still pimps for in the private sector on his speaking tours. Drones may be sent soon to help with border security, Napolitano says. That's from the Dallas Morning News and a press release from the Department of Homeland Stupidity. Napolitano and Mexican counterparts sign arrangements to bolster bilateral border and aviation security. Drones on the borders. Coming soon to a quote-unquote border near you. Our next story is an amazing one. And I think we've said before there, over the last 10 years with the acceleration of all things, good and bad, that some of these stories would be massive and we would do huge investigations into them. But now we just report that defense attorneys say the New York synagogue bomb plot was the Fed's idea. Four men accused of trying to bomb synagogues and shoot down planes in New York last spring did little more than go along with a fake plot proposed, directed, and funded by the federal government. Defense lawyers claim in asking the court to dismiss the case. A federal informant chose the targets, offered the payment, provided the maps, and bought the only real weapon involved, a handgun, the attorney said in a dismissal motion filed this week in federal court. That would be last week. That's from the Washington Post. Synagogue bomb plot directed by federal provocateur. We touch on this constantly. Informants, provocateurs, false flag events, lies and drills, obfuscation, using the military to subvert the land that we live in. Seemingly every big terror event plot that's been busted, or that actually happens, goes live, if you will. And you know the big ones, the kinds that get their own special graphics on the corporate-controlled media news. They all inevitably involve intelligence agencies and handlers and informants and provocateurs and infiltrators. And again, like I say, you see it in TV and movies all the time, and yet you don't think that it really goes on. Quick link to the trailer for upcoming Alex Jones documentary, Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA. Elderly New York City couple familiar with police, open up. Census Bureau was deeply involved in internment of Japanese Americans. This sources back to the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. Think about that. Did you fill out your census form? I ultimately wrote down two, slapped it in the envelope, sent it out. from the Los Angeles Times. Here's the new meme: urban terrorism, booby traps, threats, put police on alert. Everything is being ratcheted up, and it all kind of swirled around the health scare events of the last week. And we'll get into that whole situation. 160 community support officers, aka plastic policemen, charged with crimes in the UK. Corrupt people like to get into positions of power. Are all people in positions of power corrupt? No. Idaho leads state revolt against naked body scanners. A new airport device follows flyers' phones. That's from USA Today. Tracking you even within the airport. Militarized cops swarm college in a California shooter drill. That's from PressDemocrat.com. A quote-unquote civilian, because of course that's what we're referred to now, again, as we watch the nomenclature and the semiotics and the signs and the words and the symbols that they use, we're now referred to as civilians. That's military speak. So a quote-unquote civilian has a great YouTube video capturing military training for WMDs in the U.S. I'm not sure what city that is, but there it is. Obama's nominee to oversee security at U.S. airports favors the Israeli model. Now, this is worth hitting the link to Cryptogon.com, the original report by way of Reuters and the Washington Post. So, Obama's new TSA nominee favors the Israeli model, and Cryptogon.com asks the important question, is that the model where intelligence operatives clone the passports of unsuspecting travelers and then carry out assassinations with their identities, such as recently happened a few short weeks ago? Mossad stole passports to pull off a Hamas assassination. Isn't that the one that he favors? New York City reaches $33 million strip search settlement, I believe out of a New York prison. That's from Wikinews. The new Colorado COP program, COP, has cab drivers helping local police. That would mean snitching. Ratting you out. When people get paid to do things like that, hey, I'm going to pay you a bunch of money if you find and tell me about some terrorists. They're going to find some terrorists, quote unquote. Because again, Section 802 of the Patriot Act says essentially that all crime is terror. And as we've said time and time again, when it all collapses and the only jobs left will be working for the state as a snitch, whether that's a Homeland Security snitch, or a Green Brigade snitch, or perhaps maybe one of those new 17,000 IRS agents that are being armed to enforce Obamacare. Oh, that's right. We'll cover that a little later. Cops in New Jersey town given keys to homes. This is such a nice little human interest story to sell you the police state.
It's a novel program designed to improve the safety of senior citizens in New Jersey. It allows police quick access into a home to help anyone having a medical emergency without having to break down the door. CBS 2's Christine Sloan has the story from Franklin Township.
Marilyn Chestner is a retired music teacher and a widow. Living alone, the 79-year-old recently had a close call.
Suddenly, I was just standing there, and next thing I knew, I was on the floor.
That moment, passing out in the bathroom, made her think.
I often wondered what would happen if something happened. I couldn't get out of my bed or move, and how would somebody be able to get into the house?
And that is why this grandmother was the first person to join Operation Blue Angel, run by the Franklin Township Police Department. She has a lockbox with a spare key inside. Similar to the ones realtors use, it allows police to get into her home in the event of an emergency.
Hopefully I'll never need them, but it just gives you an extra sense of security.
The lockbox has a combination that opens up the compartment where the key or keys are held. Police first knock on the door. If they don't get a response, then they go in.
No matter who you are, you know, God forbid you get sick, and we could respond immediately.
Police Chief Craig Novick came up with the idea after one of our huge snowstorms.
We had to respond to a house where the emergent key holders couldn't respond because they were snowed in. What would we do?
Since it started a week ago, 20 seniors and people with medical conditions have signed up. It's peace of mind for their children.
They can even just call us and say, could you send a police officer by just to check on my mother and father to make sure they're okay?
It's a wonderful idea, and I just hope that many people take advantage of it.
Because Chester knows this little box could mean the difference between life or death. In Franklin Township, Christine Sloan, CBS 2 News.
Operation Blue Angel is funded completely by money seized during drug busts. While the program is intended for people with medical conditions or those 55 years or older, anyone can sign up.
Oh, there's the catch. We announce it and sell it to you in a way that it's tough to disagree with. In a nice little happy help your grandma kind of way. But then actually, it's for everybody. So are doors stronger now that they can't knock down doors? They've always been able to knock down doors if it's an emergency. And in my day, we had the I've fallen and I can't get up. What happened to that high-tech shit? Nah, now we just have keys to your door. From redactednews.blogspot.com, my man Jeff Long, out in the District of Criminals. Also connected to the amazing Rock Creek Free Press. DC Metro to stage even more terror drills. They're going to do more shooter drills, active shooter drills. You know, like the ones that immediately preceded the John Patrick Bedell Pentagon Metro Stop shooter incident of just a few weeks ago. They were running drills, and then the exact same thing happens. You may have heard me mention that if you've listened to the show before. That the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. The intelligence agencies and the rogue networks and the private military contractors running terror drills and just somehow they end up happening. Paul Craig Roberts, former economist, I believe in the Reagan administration, writer, historian, commentator. I think he's basically done. His new article, Truth Has Fallen and Taken Liberty With It. Paul Craig Roberts signs off. Trucks burned in possible threat to California police. Again, that's urban terrorism. That one's from the Associated Press. Dementia patients to be tracked by GPS satellite device. This is exactly what we were talking about. We sell it to you in a way where you go, oh, that's a good idea. But really, it's for you. And it reaches ridiculous levels. Terrorists could use explosives in breast implants to crash planes. More propaganda from Fox News, which again, as we've seen with the new fake progressive administration, that they're critical, and rightly so, of the policies and some of the things going on over the last year, the lack of change. Teacher shot dead in school science stunt. Again, a fake, a drill. But it was a part of a school lesson. But they told a bunch of kids that their teacher had been shot dead at school. Traumatizing you with terror drills. Acclimating you to this. And if you tolerate this, well, obviously our kids are already next. U.S. taxpayers funding Mexican military and the incursions into the states. But again, we've been talking since essentially the inception of me doing Media Monarchy for the nearly last 5 years. It's tying into what some folks refer to as a North American community. That's what the Council on Foreign Relations likes to call it. The last note here on police state updates, if you tolerate this, your children will be next. By way of BBC, review all anti-terrorism laws, say MPs. Do we hear that here in the States? No, we need more. We argue about how much more we need. All counterterrorism laws passed since 9/11 should be reviewed to see if they are still necessary, says a committee of MPs and peers. It questioned whether ministers could legitimately argue 9 years on that a public emergency threatening the life of the nation remained. As we've discussed time and time again, it's so easy for them to use the shock doctrine, if you will. Whether they let an event happen on purpose or make it happen on purpose. They use those events to ratchet up controls. And when the event and its official story inevitably fall apart, somehow we still can't get rid of those new controls. Still dumping out the water in the airport. Maybe you can take a lighter. Take off your shoes because of the phony shoe bomber. And now we have the naked body scanners because of the completely debunked story of the underpants bomber, the Christmas Day bomber, Mutalab. And I think that's why we've seen in what we've covered on recent episodes is the demonization of alternative media on the web. And what we've basically said is that, well, yeah, essentially the military made all this shit in the first place. Google's hand in hand with the intelligence agencies, and we're going to get to that later. They run it all. I think the joke is that it was always WWW meant worldwide wiretap. But again, I digress. Our next post is going to cover some of the latest geopolitical situations, but we're going to begin with a new article from Richard Andrew Grove, tragedyandhope.com, as well as peacerevolution.org. And of course, the subject of the new DVD, 2020 Hindsight. Zionism is stupid. And other incendiary situations. But first, Israeli professor proclaims Zionism is stupid. During a recent interview wherein Professor Shlomo Sand was being interviewed by a colleague of Richard Grove's, that's Jan Irvin of Gnostic Media, Jan Irvin asked, "Is Judaism a race or a religion? And what do you say to those that claim it's a race?" Israeli professor Shlomo Sand says, quote, "They're stupid. Exactly like the anti-Semitics. I think the Zionists that thought in the past that Jewishness is a race, pure or not pure, stupid. Exactly like the anti-Semitics that thought that the Jews are a race. All my book is a kind of declaration that Jewishness cannot be a race. The origins of most of the Jews is not from Palestine, and most of the Jewish came from conversion." End quote. Israeli professor Shlomo Sand, referring to his book, The Controversial, The Invention of the Jewish People. You can get that interview from Gnostic Media. And a few weeks prior to all this, Jan Irvin and Gnostic Media also published a conversation with a rabbi who had presented the evil Ahmadinejad with an award for his goodwill and outstanding relationship with Orthodox Jews living in Iran. Against Zionism, an interview with Rabbi Yisrael David Weiss. Therein demonstrating Ahmadinejad to be anti-Zionist, not anti-Semitic. Coming from Rabbi Weiss and Professor Sand. And this comes at a timely moment. Netanyahu in D.C., Israeli PM, remaining defiant on settlements issue. More on that from NewsJunkiePost.com. And I believe there's other more updated news about some falling out abruptly ending the meeting, perhaps. But always remember, again, that these guys, they're the actors on the stage. They're the shadows cast up on the wall. UK to expel Israeli diplomat over UK passport abuse. That's from The Guardian. Does that sound familiar? Israeli MP likens British to dogs for said Israeli expulsion. That's from Press TV out of Iran. And again from Redacted News, the most moral army in the world strikes again. Israeli Defense Forces possibly used a child to check for booby traps. And again, that's by way of Redacted News. However, it sources back to The Telegraph. And this is what we mentioned. Despite their row, the show going on, U.S. seals military deal with Israel. Elsewhere around the world, a quote-unquote pirate dies as ship's guards repel attack off Somalia. Private army sets sights on Iceland. That comes from grapevine.is. And again, we've seen the standing and the attention being paid to Iceland rise very much over the last year, being victim to the same financial New World Order as many of the rest of the world is as well. But also a new bastion of liberties. More on that in just a little bit. Saudis claim arrest of 50 militants planning attacks. That's from Alternet. And yet again from redactednews.blogspot.com, CIA involvement in Mumbai's false flag terrorism. The story of David Headley, an obvious intelligence agent, and his involvement with the Mumbai terror incident of about a year and a half ago. So we just mentioned Iceland, and that gives us the perfect transition to cover the latest episode from CorbettReport.com, episode 122, Hello, Iceland. Devastated by a banking collapse that's brought a once great nation to its economic knees, the people of Iceland are not giving up without a fight. Now they're gearing up to give the banksters and globalists a taste of their own medicine with the Icelandic Modern Media Initiative. Get informed and get involved with CorbettReport.com, outlining the efforts that's trying to make this small North Atlantic island a beacon of hope for freedom of expression the world over. We've got a link to RTE News, Iceland rejects ICE save referendum. And this also ties in, oh wait, there's a nice video, the financial crash in Iceland in 6 minutes. But Corbett Report did an interview with Professor Salvor Gizurðardóttir of Icelandic Modern Media Initiative, IMMI.is. So that's the latest episode and interviews and all the amazing work from CorbettReport.com. We also have the most recent episode from Clyde Lewis and GroundZeroMedia.org, The Black Sun Prophecy. Recently, Louis Farrakhan, leader of the Nation of Islam, delivered a speech that sounded like it was from a Hollywood blockbuster film about aliens and the end of the world. The speech included references to a mothership or space plane about a half mile long, carrying 1,500 smaller flying machines coming to Earth. He stated that in a vision, Elijah Muhammad saw that in the future, the arrival of the UFO would take place upon the discovery of a second star or companion to our sun. He mentions a blue star or darker star appearing next to a red fiery star. The ships are to gather near the sun, and there will be stars falling from the heavens. It was all a part of some apocalyptic sermon that included the intervention of aliens and the idea of a second star or sun in the sky, like the ending of the film 2010, The Year We Make Contact. Around January 18th of this year, 2010, NASA stereo monitors were beginning to register what appeared to be a large, planet-sized, unidentified flying object around the sun. Giant UFOs have appeared before around the sun, have been monitored and recorded by NASA's stereo spacecraft. The present giant solar UFO wave, with a link to examiner.com for some more on these space events, commenced on January 18th as the most recent of a reoccurring phenomenon. Later in the month of February came the solar filament at the southern hemisphere of the sun that snapped, sending to Earth a large CME, coronal mass ejection, that was not really reported in the mainstream media, but Clyde Lewis and GroundZeroMedia.org brought it to you. In the sky, a ring of fire was seen above Chile, and a devastating earthquake ensued. We've been seeing non-stop destruction on the planet since January, causing some writers and scientists to ask just what's happening to the Earth. Perhaps the problems on Earth are being caused by something out in space. That question was proposed on Ground Zero. Plenty of people in places of power that are now acknowledging that something out there is waiting for us. We may now start to wonder if the extraterrestrial reality is way more, far more complex than just UFOs, aliens, and free energy machines. There are massive space events happening, both inner and outer, as we've said. And that's why we started cyberspacewar.com last summer. We also have a quick update from groundzeromedia.org. The devil in your car. I believe this ties in to Toyota officials blaming solar and space events for some of Toyota's woes. Lastly, I want to mention that you can support Ground Zero, groundzeromedia.org, as well as zeropointradio.com, and buy Clyde Lewis's Ground Zero episodes for $1. As I've said, you can get a 3-minute pop song for $1, or you can get 2-hour power-packed news and information. Clyde Lewis, of course, recently got picked up by KUFO 101.1 FM right here in Portland, Oregon, and I believe, ratings-wise, his show is doing great. Not that that's what it's about, but again, you want to reach as many people as possible. And I think when you hear something like Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on your terrestrial radio, you stop and leave it there. We now have another massive data dump of information, again, laying out the trails, trying to put it on the record. And again, when your interest and curiosity or suspicion perhaps is peaked, it's all on the site. Greenwash, Guidestones, and Oregon Oddities, so much more. We're going to start this off with BioWars and EnviroHealth updates from NewScientist.com. You got to love this. Green consumers' smugness leads to lying and cheating. They ran tests that basically showed people who are greenwashed and consider themselves as with low carbon bullshit. I mean, footprint. that when they're making other decisions, that gives them ethical leeway to fudge and lie about numbers. Now, again, that whole report, I can't get into the experiment of how they did it. NewScientist.com. Green consumer smugness leads to lying and cheating. On a seemingly completely different, unrelated note, UK officials chop down 6,000 trees to stop sex in the woods. They should have just followed the United States Forest Service model and just put up CCTV. Chief Climate Gate Investigator failed to declare eco directorship. That's from the register.co.uk. You know, that's what happens when people get appointed to investigate situations that they're involved in. It's called a conflict of interest. FDA asks why GlaxoSmithKline vaccine has a pig virus in it. Cryptogon.com has it as well from CNN. Rotarix, R-O-T-A-R-I-X, rotavirus vaccine from GSK is contaminated. Our vaccine just happens to have a quote-unquote harmless pig vaccine in it called porcine circovirus 1. It's just an accident. There isn't an overarching eugenics agenda being carried out. Returning to NewScientist.com, pesticides being engineered to attack specific species of insects. That kind of reminds me of that thing that Dick Cheney and those other guys wrote about in the Project for a New American Century about waiting for the day when they can use race-specific bioweapons. Minor earthquake hits New York. 3 earthquakes hit central Oklahoma. 6.0 earthquake rocks Manila. Heavy earthquake hits the Philippines. Feds recall more than 1 million baby slings. That's from the Washington Times and from blacklistednews.com. Injections could cure phobias. This originates from the London Telegraph, and that may remind you of a story we hit last week. Can you alter your memory? It's a brave new world order indeed, my friends. Long-standing island dispute solved after the island disappeared into the sea. FarmWars.info asks the two-part question, what in the world are they spraying? That's a question we ask ourselves in the Pacific Northwest very, very often. The last note on the BioWars and EnviroHealth, bees in more trouble than ever after bad winter. That's from the Associated Press. Positive drug story, as Bill Hicks would say. California has approved a ballot initiative to legalize marijuana. Not decriminalize, not medical marijuana, legalize pot. Two parts from the LA Times. And as we always joke again, when things like this happen, it's never from any sort of moral standpoint of, one, it's a plant. If you believe in God, it's like saying God made a mistake.
What was I saying?
We're moving down the news purge. History mystery. CNN decided to run another story on the Georgia Guidestones. Waiting for the end of the world. Georgia's 30-year stone mystery. That is the headline from CNN. Just one of the numerous things that tied around with the momentous last week. And of course, we referenced at the very end, I believe, of last week's episode, 162, of the terror drills. I believe the Solid Curtain Citadel Shield 2010 terror drills that were running this last week at military installations around the country. That they began on March 22nd, 322. We've noted that always seems to be one of their dates. You may not believe in numerology, but seemingly they do. .322 is on the Skull and Bones door. .322 is the birthday date of these Georgia Guidestones. .322, we had the health care bill passage, and .322 is also the murder of William Bennett, which we'll update you on in just a little bit. Media memes, undercover boss, running cover for corporate America. It's a TV show where bosses of corporations pose as low-level, entry-level employees. I believe it's on CBS, but again, conservative media running it is, oh, this is good. It shows the common man. But it's running flack, and it's running positive PR for corporate America at a time when they are universally hated. Disney's booby test. Actresses auditioning for the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie must have real breasts. There's this seemingly funny, demeaning press release about it coming from Disney. Catholic TV rolls out shows in 3D to attract youth. That's from Optimum.net. 3D is the big thing. Los Angeles band tries to cash in with free monthly album. That's from the Associated Press. And of course, we're only going to see more and more of that. You can swap some of those nouns out and say Los Angeles blogger cashes in with free monthly album. DIY. And the last note on media memes, U.S. actor Robert Culp, of course, among other things, star of I Spy back in the 60s with Bill Cosby. And I, of course, remember him from Greatest American Hero. And it's also worth noting that his son, whose first name escapes me, is, I believe, a 9/11 truther and has been involved in making feature films dedicated to exposing the lies of the official story of 9/11. Bizarre notes under the murder and mayhem headings. Man stabs himself to death at Myrtle Beach Airport. Mohawked man goes on Miami Airport assault. And the last two, what we've already mentioned by way of Times Online and Raw Story, Pope failed to act on U.S. sex abuse claims. Pope faces fresh claims of child sex abuse cover-up. And we'll say it again, if you tolerate this, your children will be next. Now, something I hadn't posted in a while, what we call Oregon oddities, things from right here in the People's Republic of Oregon. We've got another article from the Daily Vanguard, which is one of the newspapers from Portland State University, Allegations 101. This is an update on Zachary Bucharest. You may recall recently we covered the story of a PSU economics professor accusing student of being an Israeli sniper and an informant and provocateur for the FBI, trying to radicalize fellow students. Again, lies, obfuscation, provocateured, fake events, meant to keep you rattled. Do you see a lot of people being rattled in the last week? We react like Pavlov's dogs. And if we don't start paying more attention, we're going to turn like a pack of dogs on each other. Meanwhile, having never looked up at the systems and structures that keep us running around in the little fake left-right paradigm. An interesting note from the Oregonian, and now this is going back a couple of Mondays, and I don't know what the update on this is, and I didn't hear it myself. Was that an explosion in Southeast Portland? Again, that's from the Oregonian. No one has any explanation. There's a ton of comments. Everybody says they heard it, and everybody says, what the hell was that? Hugs outlawed at Portland school. The hugs were out of control at West Sylvan Middle School. Students could not pass each other in the hallway without a hug. The girls were hugging one another all the time. Kids were late to class because of the hugs. Classes would end. Middle schoolers would eye a classmate at the other end of the hallway. They'd scream, run down the hallway, and jump in each other's arms. It was, Principal Allison Couch said, a virus of hugs. So, she banned hugs on school campus starting late February. Portland's Saks Fifth Avenue store to close. That's from MarketWatch.com. We've said it time and time again. Dead malls. Oregon lawsuit claims Boy Scouts cover-up of sex abuse. Possible release of the perversion files in court. Let's jump to the Washington Post. Dateline, Oregon. Saturday, March 20th. The Boy Scouts of America has long kept an extensive archive of secret documents that chronicle the sexual abuse of young boys by scout leaders over the years. The Perversion Files, a nickname the Boy Scouts are said to have had used for the documents, have rarely been seen by the public, but that could change in the coming weeks in a Portland, Oregon courtroom. The attorney for a man who was allegedly molested in the 80s by a scout leader has obtained about 1,000 Boy Scout sex files and is expected to release some of them at a trial that began Wednesday. The lawyer says the files show the organization has covered up abuse for decades. The lawyers say the files document that the organization covers up abuse for decades. Does that sound familiar? Substitute whatever organization you want to put in there. I was, of course, referring to the Catholic Church, but we could also talk about our Congress critters and our selected misleaders. Now, in relation to this story, I would have to mention WikiLeaks. The last note is an update from K2.com, K-A-T-U. World War II plane wreckage found on Oregon coast, and the remains of the two pilots may actually exist in there. That story, I believe, has made it onto the Google News page. Of course, it is a fascinating. Yeah, there it is. News10.net. Wreckage of World War II plane found in Oregon woods. Now, it's time for all our latest 9/11 updates. Threats, crash, catch, and release. Oh my God, there's a new scary video from Osama bin Laden. Dead Osama says Americans will die if KSM is killed. We love death. So essentially, the Pentagon front, known as Intel Center, released another dubious Osama bin Laden tape that we have documented quite extensively in the past. One, we laugh that, of course, the most wanted terrorist organization in the world can put out all kinds of videos and things and we can't track them down. Flashbacks like bin Laden tape is a fake, Swiss Lab says. Bin Laden tape, 5-year-old re-released footage. And, of course, I forget the guy's name off the top of my head. The guy who basically said, yeah, they lay. You can tell the graphics. They've laid on the layers at the same time. The same time they put on the terrorist logo in the corner was the same time they put on the U.S. intelligence logo in the corner. Secret coded indicator in 9/11 hijackers' passports. Holy capital. This is coming from historycommons.org, and we're going to hit a couple of other fascinating tidbits from them. The secret coded indicator of terrorist affiliation placed in some of the 9/11 hijackers' passports by Saudi authorities appears to have been a special reference to the Saudi Arabian city of Mecca. Islam's holiest city is sometimes known as Holy Capital, a term used to describe the passports of two of the hijackers containing the indicator in 9/11 commission documents found at the National Archives by HistoryCommons.org contributor Eric Larson. Some of these guys were given visas against the protests of some of the good folks working at visa offices, such as J. Michael Springman in Jeddah. So these guys are terrorists. I'm not giving them visas. And they're told, yes, we're aware of them. We are surveilling them. The terrorist designation is their cover. They are a part of an ongoing operation of which we can tell you no more. It's compartmentalized. The right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing, but again, they all connect back to the same Brave New World Order body. Here's another fascinating bit from HistoryCommons.org. 7:30 a.m. on September 11th, 2001, gate agent asks if Muhammad Atta's luggage has been loaded onto Flight 11. A gate agent at Logan Airport in Boston calls Donald Bennett, the crew chief for Flight 11, and asked him if the two suitcases of a passenger who had just boarded the plane have arrived from U.S. Airways. Bennett replies that the suitcases, which belong to lead hijacker Muhammad Atta, have arrived, but Flight 11's baggage compartment has already been locked up for departure, so they will not be loaded. Atta flew from Portland, Maine to Boston on a Colgan Air flight operated for U.S. Airways. American Airlines baggage expediter Philip DePasquale will later claim that bags from U.S. Airways are always late, and so this problem is a common occurrence. The luggage is turned over to DePasquale to have it sent to L.A. on another flight. According to Salvatore Misuraca, a ramp service manager for American Airlines at Logan Airport, gate agents do not usually call about a bag unless the passenger that owns it has specifically asked about it to ensure that their bags have been put on their flight. Atta's luggage will remain at Logan Airport and be found after the attacks, revealing important clues. More from Sybil Edmonds, BoilingFrogsPost.com. Official documents confirm major criminal investigations of Turkish operatives in Chicago. This connects to whistleblower Sybil Edmonds' expose of intelligence operations involving Turkey during her translation work. Judge says release a key Gitmo detainee, a suspected Al-Qaeda organizer, once called the highest value detainee held at Guantanamo Bay, was ordered released by a federal judge on Monday. Mohamedou Ould Slahi was accused in the 9/11 Commission report of helping recruit Muhammad Atta and other members of the Al-Qaeda cell in Hamburg, Germany, who took part in the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks in the U.S. Military prosecutors suspected Mr. Slahi of links to other Al-Qaeda ops and considered seeking the death penalty against him while preparing possible charges in 2003 and 4. Judge James Robertson, U.S. District Court, orders... Once called the highest value detainee, the man who recruited Atta. Let him out. Judge rejects 9/11 first responder settlement as too small. 400 medical professionals added to the massive, huge, ever-growing list of folks, young and old, black and white, on PatriotsQuestion911.com, 400 new doctors and medical professionals. More on the recent discovery, and I believe it was by way of the ACLU, on that letter written by Tenet and Ashcroft, warning the 9/11 Commission not to cross the line in its investigation. Our last bit of 9/11 updates, and again, we kind of mix these in with a little bit of flashbacks and reminding. Here's another flashback. Mainstream media, day of 9/11. NORAD confirmed Flight 93 crashed near Camp David.
Jim from Washington. Jim, about this report that a United Airlines plane has crashed into Camp David, Maryland, the presidential retreat just outside of Washington. Repeat the source on that for our listeners and viewers, please.
The source of this information is an FBI official in Washington who says that he has been informed by the FAA, has not confirmed it himself, but has been informed by the FAA, that a United Airlines flight, he says it's United Airlines Flight 93, has crashed into the vicinity of or at Camp David. Dan, I will tell you one other thing, too, that the FBI and terrorist experts here have immediately noted, and that is today, September the 11th, is the anniversary of the Camp David Accords, signed at that historic location after weeks of negotiations between the Arabs and the Israelis. And, of course, has been a thorn in the side of both parties now for some years and a source of great consternation. You can't help but notice, according to the FBI, the coincidence of the date. And now, if this is true, the coincidence of the target, Dan.
Jim, come into
noting the quote-unquote coincidences. Ladies and gentlemen, we're now into hour number two, well into hour number two, of episode 163 from MediaMonarchy.com. It's March 26, 2010. My name's James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show, covering all the news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Still so much to go over. We're going to have to pick up the pace. By way of Bloomberg, Wall Street despised in poll showing most want real regulation. Americans are leery about creating a new federal agency to make consumer protection rules for mortgages and credit cards and would prefer to enhance the existing powers of bankster regulators. Most people interviewed in the Bloomberg National Poll say they don't like Wall Street, banks, or insurance companies and favor letting the government punish bankers who helped cause the worst financial crisis since the Greatest Depression. The Great Depression. This is now being called the Greatest Depression. 7 out of 10 people surveyed support using current bank regulators for consumer protection, backing positions held by the financial industry and Republicans over Obama's proposal to establish an independent agency. The poll's findings come as the White House and congressional Dems pivot to focus more election year attention on an unpopular political target, banks and Wall Street, of course, following this week's victory on health care legislation. So now, whether or not Dracula is in charge of the blood bank or not, the polling is the interesting part. Universally hated, the banksters and our selected misleaders who repeatedly go against the will of people and a lot of times go against that thing we supposedly adhere to called the Constitution. We have tons of related econocrash updates. And this goes right along with it from Washington's blog. People trust banksters less than random people on the streets. Regulators shut 7 banks down last FDIC Friday, the 19th of March, in Alabama, Georgia, Minnesota, Ohio, and Utah. That's 37 and counting for 2010. Surprise, surprise, new tax refund law will benefit J.P. Morgan. That's from the Wall Street Journal. The end of Saturday mail draws closer. That's from allgov.com. And we have been covering and just kind of mentioning that that meme is definitely there. It's not top of the news, but we may wake up very soon and there will be no mail on Saturday. We also recently covered some accounting and calling for a 3-day postal service week. Now, interestingly enough, which will relate to, of course, the health scare that we'll get into. Yet another government-run operation. Completely bankrupt failure. So what could possibly go wrong with Obamacare? 72% of Dems, 84% of Republicans, and 80% of independents think economy could collapse, as if it hasn't already. Madoff geeks charged for writing book cooking code. That's, of course, from theregister.co.uk. Appeals court orders Federal Reserve to release bank bailout records. Again, from allgov.com. And again, we'd like to see a little sunlight. Explain why you sold UK's gold, Gordon Brown told. And the last note is a video that we don't have time for, but we will hear from him later. We've got Congressman Ron Paul grilling criminal Timothy Geithner, of course, as we went over last week, involved in the Lehman Brothers controlled demolition. He doesn't like to pay his taxes. You know. So now, one of the stories that we hit on the most recent New World Next Week. Airport security guard ogled woman colleague in body scanner. This is coming from The Sun, a tabloid out of the UK. They're only reporting this not because it's a disgusting example of the new police state measures. They just like it because it's sex. A Heathrow security man was quizzed by police after ogling a girl colleague naked in a new anti-terror body scanner. Joe Margetson, 29, reported John Laker, 25, after he took her picture with the X-ray gadget and made a lewd comment. The pervy guard leered and told her, "I love those gigantic tits." She had entered the X-ray machine by mistake and was horrified when Laker pressed a button to take a revealing photo. Laker, who faces the sack, which is the British way of saying getting fired, but it adds to the humorous double entendres. Laker is the first supposed airport worker to be caught abusing the controversial new devices. They were brought in by the government after the Christmas Day underpants bomber tried to blow up a flight on Detroit. They produce full-body nude images of passengers to locate hidden weapons or explosives. This includes clear genitalia, or outlines of. Opponents of the scanner, including anti-pedophilia groups, have furiously condemned their use. There are so many elements in this story to go into, but we don't have time. We've already mentioned that the Christmas Day bomber Mutalab story is completely debunked. His well-dressed handler from the Sudan helped him on to the plane. He was on the terror watch list. He didn't have a visa. His father warned intelligence agencies about this. Someone videoed it the entire time. He seemed out of it. And when the fire erupted in his pants, he had no idea it was happening. And witnesses, and this is documented interviews on NPR, he didn't know his pants were on fire, and he even tried to help put it out when it was pointed out to him. Debunked. The terror scanners fuck up your DNA. You're giving money to people like Chertoff, who own stock in companies that are rolling these things out. They don't work that well. Ultimately, it's about you tolerating it. If you tolerate this. And our flashback here, body scanners can store and send images. That's just flashing back to January of this year, again debunking the off-sided line of, oh, we don't keep the photos. Another story that we cover on the latest New World Next Week video from CorbettReport.com. France ditches carbon tax as social protests mount. This from The Telegraph. Sarkozy last Tuesday scrapped the country's proposed carbon tax and reshuffled his cabinet into a populist tilt after suffering embarrassing electoral defeat over the weekend. The vote saw a resurrection of both the Socialist Party and the far-right National Front, showing how the delayed effects of rising unemployment can change the political landscape. Now, aside from whether or not you believe in man-made global warming, that carbon dioxide is evil and not the plant food that it is, even if you believe in man-made global warming, what is paying a carbon tax, a carbon indulgence, if you will, to families and organizations like Gore, Goldman Sachs, and the Rothschilds? It's going to hurt us. It's not going to hurt them. They're the same ones that have caused the problems and gotten us addicted to all of the destructive things. Because we can't have electric cars and, you know, we can't use hemp for anything. But now you're bad and we're going to have green snitches ratting you out if you don't do your recycling correctly. If you tolerate this. We reported on this last week. We must report on it again. This coming from Threat Level, from Wired.com. Lawmakers eyeing national biometric ID card. And again, we just hit this just a week ago. Using immigration to push biometric ID card. Lawmakers proposing a national identification card, what they're calling high-tech, fraud-proof social security cards that would be required for all employees in the United States. Which, we could joke at the rate that's going, won't be many people. But of course, it will be involved with the state. The proposal by Schumer and Graham, a Democrat and Republican, showing a bipartisan joint effort to completely undermine and destroy all liberties left, or any kind of sense of liberties. This proposal comes as the states are grappling to produce another national identification card at the behest of Homeland Security. This ties in with the non-compliance of the Real ID program. Unfunded mandates. We have this whole article posted up, and it's unbelievable. They want to give you an ID card that has embedded biometric information. Let's listen to a conversation on tracking Americans as this national worker biometric ID card is proposed with Lou Rockwell.
We fought a Cold War for 40 years against governments that forced all persons subject to their authority to carry government-issued identification cards. Wow. How much more un-American can the American government get? Where are your papers? Is a command that strikes at the core of freedom of movement and the right to privacy in a free society. Surely there are less intrusive ways to keep track of lawful and unlawful immigrants without assaulting the fundamental rights of us all. Where will this end? The proposed ID cards that the government is now considering are biometric, thus the police can swipe the card and learn much about the bearer's medical, legal, and travel history, none of which may lawfully be made available to the government absent the consent of the owner of the card or absent a warrant issued by a federal judge based upon probable cause of crime. Freedom needs breathing room. Explaining or justifying one's presence to agents of the government stifles that breathing room and leads to totalitarianism. Joining me now to talk about all of this is Lou Rockwell, chairman and founder of the Mises Institute in Auburn, Alabama. Lou, welcome back to Freedom Watch.
Judge, great to be with you.
I was not surprised, but I was scandalized when I read just this morning, Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat of New York, were meeting with the president in order to formulate legislation that would require every person in the United States of America who is employed to carry a biometric identification card with them, something even the British government rejected in the past 10 years. How un-American could the government get if it ever forced this upon us?
You know, just the other day on the GE network, I saw somebody saying that you're a member of a hate group or allied with hate groups if you think that America is in danger of becoming a police state. Well, of course, we obviously are moving towards a police state. And this proposal by Graham and Schumer and Obama, you know, is one indication. In fact, this is probably a good rule in life. If Obama, Schumer, and Graham are for something, you know it's evil. You don't even have to look into the details.
I mean, we know that there's no authority in the Constitution to require Americans to carry papers of any sort. We're not talking about a driver's license. license to operate a motor vehicle on a government roadway. We're not talking about a passport legitimately to leave the country or enter the country. We're talking about papers which would justify you going from one spot in Alabama to another, or me going from one spot in New Jersey to another. This strikes at a number of not only natural rights, but rights that are specifically protected by the Constitution. What do these people think they're accomplishing if they were to force such a radical change in American life that the police could stop you and say, okay, Mr. Rockwell, where are you coming from? Where are you going to? And let me see that card. I want to swipe it.
Well, Judge, they want control over us, and that's why they're doing this. It has nothing to do with terrorism, nothing to do with illegal aliens, which is the excuse for this particular piece of legislation. They want control over us, and they want to know everything about, as you say, our medical records, our financial records, any legal records, the average cop, and of course, it's far more than cops. There are armed agents of the federal government in every single one of these departments.
Right.
They're vastly increasing in number and powers, and they want, we're just cash cows to them. We're just people just like in an airport with a TSA. You just salute them, do what they say, don't look them in the eye, or do look them in the eye, whatever the rule is.
Right.
They should be able to go through your belongings, go through your car, go through your person. You have no rights whatsoever. You're just a thing to them. And, of course, this is not the constitutional way. It's not the American way. I hope people wake up to this.
I like you, strongly oppose what the TSA does. It's an assault on individual dignity. When people say, well, you have to hide, I have everything to hide. I have my privacy. I have my dignity to hide. And someday I hope that the majority of Americans agree with that. But I could avoid the TSA by not flying. I can't avoid this ID card of Lindsey Graham and Chuck Schumer unless I don't work for a living and starve or live off of my savings. There would be no way around this. This would be an imposition on us by virtue of our presence in America as people engaged in commercial transactions. Where is the authority for that in the Constitution? I suppose the answer is they don't care if there's authority in the Constitution.
The Constitution is just a piece of paper to them. And this plan was first rooted about in the Clinton administration after the Oklahoma City bombing. President Bush wanted to do it in the Patriot Act. They didn't quite get it. Everything now, of course, under Obama, they're moving further towards us. It's totalitarian. It's max of Nazi regimes. As you mentioned, communist regimes. This is not American. And I think more and more people are, as Gerald Celente mentioned in the previous segment, more and more people are waking up to what's happening. That's why they want to control us. That's why they want to shut us up. That's why they want to be in control of whether you have a job or not. And, I think people are waking up to this. And this is why they're attempting this kind of thing, to control us, to shut us up. But we must not be controlled. We must not be shut up. And if I can quote what Gerald said, don't follow your leader. Those are lemmings follow their leaders. Be an independent individual.
We are chatting with Lou Rockwell, founder and chair of the Mises Institute.
And so many fundamental points were hit there. That this has gone on through the previous puppet administrations, left or right, it doesn't matter. And that's what people are waking up to. And that's why they're demonizing the web. And that's why things are moving more quickly. So yes, we've now reached the time to discuss the landmark legislation. Both parties collude to bring U.S. health scare. So aside, and we've already referenced this being an amazing power grab, and it will follow the other failed examples of government-run operations like Medicare or the post office. It's all about control. And this is one of those big stories that, again, is so massive I can't cover in all the ways, and the information is voluminous out there. So amid all the hype, all I have to add, and is what I've said before, is that if they wanted to give us health care, they could deliver it with the same shock and awe quickness that they deliver death and destruction around the world, at a fraction of the cost. Like Bill Hicks said, hey, that guy needs a banana. So we have tons of updates, and it's getting frightening. But let's cover just one angle of the health scare. From WashingtonExaminer.com, 16,500 more IRS agents needed to enforce Obamacare. New tax mandates and penalties included in Obamacare will cause the greatest expansion of the IRS since World War II. According to a new analysis by the Joint Economic Committee of the House Ways and Means Committee, with a PDF download for you. In addition to more complicated tax returns, Families and small businesses will be forced to reveal further tax information to the IRS. But these new IRS agents have been armed. We covered the work order, ordering the shotguns for IRS agents on FBO.gov. But let's listen to Honorable Dr. Ron Paul on the health scare and the coming thugs to enforce Obamacare.
What do you think about what happened last night as a doctor?
Well, I think it's going to ruin the doctor-patient relationship. It's already been severely undermined because doctors don't deal with patients. They deal with insurance companies and the government, drug companies, and the whole works. So this is just makes it that much worse. It's not all at once. It's been coming this way a long time because when I practiced medicine in the 60s and the 70s, before I came to Congress, I refused to deal with third parties. If they were on Medicaid or Medicaid, if they collected the money from the government, that was okay. But I consider something very, very important in medicine, and that is the doctor-patient relationship, and we should not be taking orders from somebody else. And yet today, it's very bureaucratic, and this bill is going to make it much, much worse, which means the patients are going to be less happy, the doctors will be less satisfied. Most people think people go into medicine only for the money, but I'll tell you what, a lot of us enjoy the fact that we can deal with our patients, and the bureaucracy ruins that, and I'm afraid this will make it much worse.
And it's any bureau. You know, I remember very clearly when I was a kid, the doctor coming for house calls, my father walking the doctor to the door, pulling out his wallet, giving the doctor a $10 bill or a $20 bill, whatever it was. Now, that's in the past. You can't go back to the past, but wherever you can get closer to that ideal that we used to live by, the better, as far as I'm concerned. What about you?
Well, of course. And, you know, ironically, a little bit of that is coming back because some of the doctors who refuse to participate and opt out, those who are still doing family medicine, will go out and make house calls and take appointments and just charge $35. And they don't do any insurance, any bureaucracy. They don't carry any malpractice insurance, the whole works, and the patients are happy with it. But that's just far and in between because you need hospital, you know, deliver babies and do surgery. You have to be in the hospital, so that drags you into the system.
Right.
You know, during this debate, they talked a whole lot about the public option. I just wish they would protect the private option. Give us a chance to have a private, just like you should have a chance to have private education, homeschooling. You should always protect that in spite of the disaster in public education. But if you always had a private option in medicine, some of us could survive, and at least we could set an example for the kind of medicine that the people should
but
be getting.
But now the private option, as you described it, and as we both, I think a lot of Americans wanted to return, it's going to be illegal. And not only will it be illegal because everybody will be forced to buy insurance, but you're going to have an IRS agent on your tail if you dare not to have insurance. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, this is horrible because the people who are going to get charged are the ones who might not have carried insurance on purpose or would have had a major medical policy and they didn't want a big insurance policy. Insurance policy should be variable. You know, just like we buy for our houses and our car, we look at what kind of coverage we want. In medicine now, the people who need the least and carry the least amount of insurance will be the ones who will have to pay the maximum, and they are the ones who will be hounded by the IRS. So this is a command society now, and medicine is right in the forefront of this. And I think symbolically, the American people didn't have concern. They ought to just think about it. 16,500 armed bureaucrats coming to make this program work.
It
was a good program, and everybody liked it. You wouldn't need 16,500 thugs coming with their guns and putting you in jail if you didn't follow the rules.
Exactly. I think you just said it. If it was a good program, you wouldn't need coercion. This is a coercion, using the power of the state as a coercive body rather than as a representative of the American people's will. There's something deeply, deeply wrong with that.
Yes, there is. But we quickly now have to go over all the related health scare updates, reasons to be pissed about Obamacare from blacklistednews.com, more on the date 322, March 22nd, Secret Society's Depopulation and Obamacare. Again, we've covered 322 already, Skull and Bones, Georgia Guidestones, and we've got another one coming up in just a few minutes. Some of the recaps from the last bit of movement that we saw last week, Kucinich selling out on healthcare after a tense ride in Air Force One, that's from the Washington Post. Obama hails vote as answering the call of history, that's from the New York Times. An interesting video from fake progressive talking head on the Microsoft General Electric Corporation, Olbermann. and he had Howard Fineman from Newsweek talking about Obamacare, and he somehow mentions and suggests that Obama might be from Kenya. But we're not going to touch that now. 20 ways Obamacare will limit our freedoms. That's from investors.com. And more, just mainline, mainstream coverage. Washington Post, Obama signs landmark health bill into law. Skull and Bones, John Kerry, remember, 322, exploits Obamacare passage to propose a carbon tax. We've got more from McClatchy. Rulersofusall.wordpress.com. Declaration of Dependence. Founding Fathers' Role in Their Graves. More mainstream coverage from The Guardian. And an interesting take. And again, this is what we're trying to expose. It's not one party or the other. Some of the friends that I went to school with back in small town West Virginia that still live around there are basically mainline, well-meaning conservative Christians. We got into it when Puppet Bush was still in power, arguing about their party. Now, they're so energized. But they can't see the other side. This is what we have to expose right now. Remember those times when we were fighting during the previous puppet administration? I'm still fighting the same way. You vote the bums out, one party's in, one party's out, one party's energized, the other ones go to sleep. Shame on both the Democrats and the Republicans for Obamacare.
Shame on everyone for Obamacare by the Southern Avenger. Imagine Congress trying to pass an expensive and unpopular health care bill by twisting arms, cutting backroom deals, refusing transparency, and politicians mysteriously changing their votes only to finally pass the controversial legislation at the last hour by a paper-thin margin. This is what happened in 2003 when the Medicare Prescription Drug Improvement and Modernization Act was passed by a Republican-controlled Congress with a minimum 216 votes and was signed into law by President George W. Bush. It was the largest government health care entitlement expansion to date, estimated at about $400 billion, but has exceeded over half a trillion since, said Bush. Quote, these reforms are the act of a vibrant and compassionate government. Our vibrant and compassionate government acted in full force again this week as the so-called Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act was passed by a Democratic-controlled Congress where arms were twisted, backroom deals were cut, there was little transparency. Politicians mysteriously changed their votes, and the controversial legislation passed at the last hour by a paper-thin margin. At a price tag of nearly $1 trillion, the Democrats claimed it was a great moral victory, while the Republicans cried foul, or as House Minority Leader John Boehner thundered, quote, can you say it was done openly with transparency and accountability, without backroom deals and struck behind closed doors, hidden from the people? Hell no, you can't. Boehner's right, but it was the House Minority Leader and his Republican Party that helped push through Bush's Medicare expansion, a piece of legislation passed by cutting backroom deals behind closed doors and hidden from the people. Beginning with a national debt of a little over $5 trillion in 2000, the debt doubled in 8 years, rising to over $10 trillion when Bush left office. Said Boehner in the wake of the passage of the Democrats' health care scheme Sunday night, quote, shame on us, and he was right to use the word us. With an America still in shell shock over what went down on Capitol Hill this week, some might be asking, why is Jack Hunter wasting time and attacking the Republicans? We need to stop the Democrats. No, we need to stop big government, period. And it would be a huge mistake to now blindly embrace the big government party of yesterday in order to stop the big government party of today. On Monday, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee immediately claimed that the health care vote on Sunday proved that there was a major difference between the two parties. Bull. What the health care vote proved was that the Republicans now have an issue to run on in 2010 and 2012, and they know it. What it does not prove is that if victorious, Republicans would behave any different than when they were expanding government health care and doubling the national debt while Bush was in office.
Southern Avenger on YouTube, further exposing what we're trying to do here, the phony left-right paradigm. Still, tons of updates on Obamacare. More on the 322 day in history from Cryptogon.com. We've got the video of Biden after announcing Obama and the bill, leaning into his ear and saying, "This is a big fucking deal." So Biden characterizes Obamacare as the obscenity that it is, and it's another great way to anger those aforementioned mainline Christian conservatives with the foul language. 14 U.S. states sue to block Obamacare. Vandals then hit at least 5 Democrat offices nationwide, threaten to assassinate children of pro-reform lawmakers. That comes by way of the George Soros-funded fake progressive website thinkprogress.org. Cost of defying Obamacare, IRS goons, as we've already mentioned, armed. 17,000 of them. A little video flashback reminder of Obama making the promise of always having 5 days to inspect any legislation. Another broken promise. Obamacare kicking in immediately in some places. More on that from Bloomberg, and I think that has to do with tanning salons. Obama awarded hundreds of thousands of dollars in airport grants to Bart Stupak's district 2 days before the vote. More from NRCC.org. HistoryCommons.org. In addition to their fantastic complete 9/11 timeline, I was unaware they have a complete U.S. healthcare system timeline. Lib bloggers blaming militias for the broken Democrat windows, severed gas line found at home of Perello brother, House members offered more security after vandalism and death threats. Health scare bill has lawmakers worried after series of threats. Eric Cantor says his campaign office was shot at. Accuses Democrats of exploiting these threats. New York Representative Anthony Weiner gets a threatening letter. Ratcheting it up. Now, it remains to be seen whether these events are being pulled off by provocateured individuals. The fake false flag attacks that we've talked about all along. We here, one, aren't a part of any group. We're nonpartisan. Both sides completely corrupt and controlled. They prop up the system, keep us in the box. Anytime there's a grassroots breakaway, you see it co-opted in the most recent case of Palin and Beck and the like, co-opting Tea Party movement. Demonizing everyone. All crime is terror. I completely reject any and all of this violence. I've said it before. That's why provocateurs cause violence, because it causes the reaction so that the state can offer the solution they wanted in the first place. It's the Hegelian dialectic. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Problem, reaction, solution. They've been pulling it on us for nearly centuries. We have other related Obamacare updates. Representative Issa poised to call for special prosecutor to investigate White House. That involves who gets appointed, who's scratching whose back. A new Harris poll, 24% of Republicans think Obama may be the Antichrist. That's from Raw Story. Oh, and here's a nice one by way of blacklistednews.com as well from, I believe, Revolutionary Politics. Here's a nice little video of a random Democrat talking about how they get business done.
When the deal goes down, all of this talk about rules, we make them up. As we go along,
we make them up. Arnold Schwarzenegger, the washed-up action star, son of a Nazi, is the most unpopular governor in California history. That's from allgov.com. Former Obama aide is the new head of AIPAC, the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee. More on that proud news from IsraelNationalNews.com. We have discussed the McCain bill, the detentions, enemy belligerent dissent bill. We have the full text on comments from McCain on another assault on personal liberties. We've got a video linked up, Alex Jones breaking down the dissent and enemy belligerence bill. And we finish off that note with Obamacare updates and all the other cast of criminal cabinet characters. the nice video of Bush and Clinton in Haiti, where after Bush shakes some dirty refugee's hands, he wipes his hand on Clinton's shirt. Or at least it would appear so in the video. And again, Bush still knows how to wow him. Quickly now from allgov.com, Afghan insurgents obtained U.S. IED blocking systems. They're called Warlocks. Jamming technology used by the military to thwart roadside bombs in Afghanistan fell into the hands of the Taliban more than 2 years ago, according to an Army intelligence document obtained by WikiLeaks.org. More on WikiLeaks in just a few minutes. And again, you always see somehow that we end up funding our enemies. Amazing how that happens all the time. Other war horrors updates. I bet you didn't hear about this. Thousands rallied to pull troops from two war zones. MSNBC actually covered it. There were anti-war rallies last week. Sheehan was arrested. Press TV has an interesting article about possible further charges for her anti-war campaign. The Washington Post praising Leon Panetta. Under Panetta, a more aggressive CIA, we have called the CIA, or rather the Washington Post, the CIA's favorite newspaper. UK inquiry into Iraq war turns toward Bush officials. That's from Raw Story. UK government ran intel unit outside of military command structure. That's from Cryptagon. U.S. investigators winding down inquiry of destroyed CIA torture tapes. That's from the Washington Post. U.S. military contractors move into Africa. Gates announces changes to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Soldiers taking psychiatric drugs for stress. State Department hires contractor to babysit misbehaving contractors in Afghanistan. And lastly, John Pilger writes an amazing article called Have a Nice War, Folks. Again, sounding somewhat like a we're screwed goodbye that we noted from Paul Craig Roberts earlier. JohnPilger.com, here's news of the Third World War. The U.S. has invaded Africa. U.S. troops have entered Somalia, extending their war front from Afghanistan and Pakistan to Yemen, and now the Horn of Africa. In preparation for an attack on Iran, American missiles have been placed in four Persian Gulf states, and bunker buster bombs are said to be arriving at the U.S. base on the British island of Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean. In Gaza, the sick and abandoned populations, mostly children, being entombed behind underground American-supplied walls in order to reinforce a criminal siege. In Latin America, the Obama administration has secured seven bases in Colombia from which to wage a war of attrition against the popular democracies in Venezuela, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Paraguay. Meanwhile, Gates complains that the general European public and the political class are so opposed to war that they are an impediment to peace. Have a nice world war, folks. We now have what I've posted up as William Bennett update. Some still not charged in 2009 murders. Here's another mention of 322. And I believe MediaMonarchy.com is one of the main sources for this story about the murder of William Bennett. And we're going to get a clip. I found a new clip. Again, we just had the one-year anniversary of the murder of William Bennett in Loudoun County in Lansdowne, Virginia, March 22nd, 2009. When this story happened, it was sold as a random attack. But there were reports of a white van that was never found, of course, and also disappeared altogether from the news. And then it emerged that William Bennett was an ex-CIA contractor involved in the mistaken bombing of the Chinese embassy in Belgrade. This guy was randomly murdered while he was jogging in Spookville, Virginia. So we grabbed a new video from which news agency? Fox 5 out of D.C. We grabbed it from them and we posted it up to youtube.com/MediaMonarchy for this latest update on the murder of William Bennett.
It was a vicious crime. A couple attacked and beaten in Northern Virginia. The husband, a former Green Beret, died. A year later, the suspects in the crime have yet to go to trial. Two haven't even been charged. Fox 5's Sherry Lee, live in the newsroom to explain. Sherry.
Well, Brian, it was a year ago today that William and Cynthia Bennett went out for their morning jog in their Lansdowne neighborhood, and they were attacked. Three suspects would eventually be arrested. They've been in jail ever since, but only one is charged with Bennett's murder.
The makeshift memorial is fading, except for a bouquet of fresh flowers. A fresh reminder 1 year later of the brutal attack that killed William Bennett and nearly killed his wife.
It was strictly a random act. It just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
A month after the murder, investigators announced they had rounded up the suspects. 18-year-old Darwin Bowman, 20-year-old Anthony Roberts, and 17-year-old Jamie Ayala. Bowman is the only one charged in the murder and has yet to go to trial. Last year, prosecutors dropped charges against Ayala due to a technicality and have not refiled.
He wants this to be resolved. He's very angry about getting pulled into the murder charges by the other two individuals.
The Commonwealth's attorney would not comment on the case today, but has over the past year.
Prosecutors say this killing will not go unpunished. They still plan to charge the others involved because there is no statute of limitation on murder.
At the time, Ayala and Roberts were arrested on unrelated crime and remain in jail on those charges.
It's certainly a relief to get them off the street, and that was the most important thing, is to just remove them from the community.
Ayala's attorney says the state is waiting for forensic testing to be done.
You don't go forward with a case of this magnitude until you're ready to move with it.
Whether the suspects are formally charged yet, investigators have said everyone responsible is in custody.
And now we can sit back and try to figure out the most effective way to hold them accountable for the Bennett case, as well as each and every other crime we can link them to.
Roberts is now serving time for burglary. Ayala, who turned 18 in jail this year, has pleaded guilty to gang charges and is expected to plead guilty to separate robbery charges on Friday. Both remain suspects in the Bennett killing. Brian?
Sherry Lee, live in the newsroom. Bowman, the only person charged in the murder, has not had a preliminary hearing in the case. It's been postponed several times and is now scheduled for May. He's charged with capital murder. Could face the death penalty.
That's the latest video added to what is now a 20-video-long playlist that I have on YouTube.com/Media Monarchy on the murder of William Bennett, ex-CIA contractor, as we now have the one-year anniversary. Not going to have enough time to go over all the news on the two sister sites to MediaMonarchy.com. We have foodworldorder.com, but we're going to try and hit through some of the latest on cyberspacewar.com, on kill switches, siphons, and existential threats. The Large Hadron Collider, the Super Collider, CERN, has recently been cranked to max, quote, maximum redline power, so says the register.co.uk. This has been called the Doomsday Device, the end-of-the-world machine, the Atom Smasher that is perhaps being sabotaged from the future. But back on Earth, Obama's veto power, i.e. kill switch, over the net has been removed in the amended cyberspace bill. A couple of calls, one coming from Forbes, the other follow-up from Danger Room. Time to split up the NSA or break up the NSA. So they're calling for it to be broken into more different pieces. I would say, paraphrasing JFK, to smash it into 1,000 pieces and scatter its ashes to the wind. Right, fellas? The U.S. Secret Service paid the so-called TJX hacker $75,000 a year. This guy has now been convicted and sentenced to 20 years in prison. Albert Gonzalez, the so-called TJX hacker. More on this from Threat Level. But interestingly enough, he was being paid by the United States Secret Service, and it was only on the side that he did this criminal thing he's now convicted for. That's the theme. Infiltrators funded by the feds. Cyber assaults bombard federal computers. That's from UPI. UK anti-terror police seek help from internet cafes. That's from the BBC. That goes along with right here in the States, the COP program in Colorado getting taxi drivers to rat you out. The latest on the ACTA draft essentially the world copyright law. No internet for copyright scoff laws. Again, Threat Level has more on all that. The Register, your health, tax, and search data siphoned. But again, we're always told your information won't be used, but it always is. Toronto man with Al-Qaeda ties ran an extremist blog. More on that from NationalPost.com. Why CNN executive fears social networking sites. That's from MarketWatch. And I think we've already said it. People want alternative news and alternative media. A new wireless survey by way of ArsTechnica.com. 91% of the U.S. use cell phones. A fascinating one from ComputerWorld.com. Cyber attacks an existential threat to the U.S. A top FBI official warned today that many cyber adversaries of the U.S. have the ability to access virtually any computer system, posing a risk that's so great it could, quote, challenge our country's very existence. No hype here, though. Cybersecurity in the two homelands hypothesis from Homeland Security Watch. Google, and this is how we're going to basically wrap up this show, in a nice, well-put way from Webster Tarpley. Google exits China, except for, you know, that part known as Hong Kong. So just a little primer for you on this from allgov.com. Tired of China's strict censorship rules, Google decided to shut down its mainland search engine, Google.cn, and redirect Chinese users to its Hong Kong-based web portal. But the move did not result in greater internet freedom for Chinese web surfers because the Chinese government began blocking objectionable content on the Hong Kong site. Searches on topics such as the Tiananmen Uprising or the Falun Gong resulted in blank screens or error messages on google.com.hk. Google's move threatens its economic stake in China, where the government reacted angrily to the switch over to Hong Kong, which enjoys semi-autonomous rule at the pleasure of Beijing. State-controlled Xinhua news agency quoted unnamed government official who said, quote, Google has violated its written promise it made when entering the Chinese market by stopping filtering its searching service and blaming China in insinuating alleged hacker attacks. In insinuation for alleged hacker attacks, rather. So, from the Washington Times, cyber attack on U.S. firms and Google traced to Chinese. And then it ratchets up more. DailyFinance.com has the Chinese media. Google is tied to U.S. intelligence. And the New York Times goes over it as well. Chinese academics' paper on cyber war sets off alarms in U.S. Again, the mainline mainstream take for you. But let's wrap up with the more informed, well-rounded, historical, truthful take from Webster Tarpley on the U.S. government using Google as a proxy to attack China.
Google is an arm of the U.S. government. Google is cohabiting publicly with the National Security Agency. So this is essentially a U.S. government attack on China in the sense of these censorship laws that they have, the filtering or the great cyber wall of China. And the thing that has happened now is that they've said they're going to leave the mainland, but they're going to set up their server in Hong Kong. And before they did this, they consulted the U.S. National Security Council, i.e. the White House. The problem is, from the Chinese point of view, of course, Hong Kong is an integral part of China, and this is a very sensitive issue because we had the British there for 150 or more years. So if Google thinks that they can simply move their server to China, to Hong Kong, out of mainland, and continue, I think they're crazy, because this will simply force the Chinese then to extend the full force of the filtering to Hong Kong, which in the previous times has had some kind of an autonomy. And of course, this is now within the framework of this continuous deterioration of U.S.-Chinese relations. The Chinese got in a good shot a few days ago. They published a detailed report about human rights abuses in the U.S., one of the first countries to actually do that in a full-throated way. And of course, they captured a lot of stuff that was going on. We're also on track for April 15th, the Ides of April, when the U.S. Treasury is likely to brand China as a currency manipulator. and the Chinese are going to be up in arms about that. We're also in the background always waiting for this list of economic sanctions that the Chinese have. The companies that were selling arms to Taiwan, that they object to also because of national sovereignty reasons, are due to be sanctioned, and that is another shoe that is waiting to drop. And in the middle of all this, we have this very interesting interview with the Commerce Minister of China, Chen, who gave an interview to the Washington Post. And in this, he says, if there's a trade war, the U.S. will lose. Now, this is a relatively self-assured statement on the surface. And, of course, he's right, but the reality is, in a trade war, everybody loses, and China would also suffer grievous losses. I think it's worth looking a little bit into Chen's argument. He would seem to be a representative of the elitist or globalization faction in the Chinese Communist Party. He went to Harvard. He didn't go to the youth league of the party. So he says that China would, they want to keep the renminbi at the level they want. They want the right to manage their currency. And of course, here he's right. Everybody has a right to mercantilist or dirigist or protectionist measures. On the other hand, he then turns around and says, we do this because of globalization, which just doesn't make any sense. And he says to the United States, you better forget about having manufacturing of consumer electronics, because under globalization, that's long gone. So I think there's a certain disconnect in the two sides of his argument. As long as he's arguing Chinese national sovereignty and their inherent right to self-defense economically as well, he's on very firm ground. But then when he turns around and says, and now you, don't you dare have a protective tariff or any other dirigistic measures, then this makes no sense. In other words, one or the other. Either globalization or national sovereignty, because you can't have both. What the Chinese practice is essentially a dirty float. They float their currency, but they manage it. They pilot it. The problem with the dirty float is not the dirty. It's the float, because this is what causes chaos. We would really need a situation of fixed parities among all the major currencies, and the Chinese really would be better served by that. So what we're left with is this contradictory argument, which, again, what it reflects is the tension inside China between the globalization faction on one hand and then this youth league faction. The next president is likely to be Xi, who is probably more on the elitist side, although that remains to be seen. And it's also, to some degree, unclear who the next president will be.
Around the world and back again with all your alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. That's all the time we have on episode 163 of MediaMonarchy.com. Don't have any creepy customers for you this week, but there's still tons of other news that we didn't have time to go over on CyberspaceWar.com, like U.S. authorities physically surveilling those connected to WikiLeaks.org, connected to a possible video release on April 5th of a video showing illegal civilian murders being carried out by the U.S. military. Big news probably coming soon from WikiLeaks.org. We've got news on fake sites that were set up by the CIA to recruit terrorists being shut down. All the latest headlines from foodworldorder.com, as well as a food revolution in Huntington, West Virginia. We're going to have to leave it there, my friends. Again, thank you all for the donations. We're still having the Money March Media Monarchy Drive for the new DVD 2020 Hindsight. The discs will go out this week. And again, my friends, that's how we do it. We share ideas, and we all keep growing. I'm James Evan Pilato. It's March 26, 2010. This was episode 163 of MediaMonarchy.com. And like my man Webster Tarpley says, get active or get radioactive. Take care.
Police would get him just the same.